Welcome to the Outdoor Dream Jobs Podcast. I'm Allie Carr.
And I'm Jenna Selmer. We run Basecamp, an online community of more than 16,000 outdoor industry insiders who share jobs, industry contacts, and advice.
If you didn't see our newsletter this week, go subscribe now. We shared an enormous number of jobs this week, especially in the ski industry, which is staffing up now for the winter, and not just on-the-ground jobs like lifties and retail services, but really there's some corporate jobs in there like digital marketing managers and public relations specialists. And today we also have six great opportunities to share with you. So there seems to be a plethora of jobs happening right now.
Yep. And we're also talking to Aaron Bible, who is a 25-year industry veteran, and he's an adventure journalist who writes for, oh my gosh, Men's Health, Men's Journal, Gear Junkie, Backpacker, really any publication in the outdoor sphere or adjacent, he has written for them. So he has a ton of tips on how to break into this industry, how to pitch publications, and he's doing all of this from his little plot of land up in Nederland, Colorado, right outside of Boulder. So lucky guy.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the jobs.
All right, so our first job is with the Giant Group. And so Giant Bikes, they are a huge company that creates all types of bikes, including e-bikes, and they need a business manager for this vertical. And this person, they'd like to have 5 years experience. If you know a lot about e-bikes, absolutely this position is for you because they want to just branch into all industries. They want to do some strategic things, get their bikes in new retail locations, get new customers riding them and telling those stories. So that would be your main role, is making those things happen.
And we've seen a trend in e-bike jobs happening right now. So if you're looking for a sector of the industry to get into, this is actually probably a really good one to focus on as you move in your job search.
Yeah. And sorry, I forgot to mention, it's in Newberry Park, California. No remote options for this position, sadly.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks for clarifying. The next job is with Yeti in Austin, Texas, and they are looking for a video editor and motion graphics designer. That's one job. Someone with about 4 years of experience who would be joining an in-house content team. And I just imagine you'd be, creating some really awesome videos, engaging stories, multimedia projects, social media experiences. And I just think Yeti would be really fun to work for because their branding is always just so much fun. So there's that at Yeti in Austin.
That sounds like the coolest job, to be honest. I think of like claymation stuff and I think it would just be so much fun. I'm sure it's not claymation at all though. Another super cool job though is testing engineer for Cascade Designs up in Seattle, Washington. And Cascade Designs, they make outdoor gear across so many different companies, Thermarest, MSR, Platypus, Seal Line, a ton of them. And this test engineer would be doing prototype testing, developing new tests for stuff, designing fixtures, and just really taking the gear that's made and making sure it's good quality, which I think would be such a fun job in the outdoor industry for a really core company.
Yeah, I actually can't think of a better job for somebody who is a total just gearhead in this industry, somebody who is out in the field already going, man, they should put a zipper here or a pocket here, or this door should be better. It would be better designed this way on this tent. So I'm sure that they're going to find someone great. And this person is just going to love that job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Next, we have a digital marketing manager job at Cliff Bar in Emeryville, California. So Cliff has often been on Outside's Best Places to Work. They are known just to be a fantastic employer to work for. And this job is basically working on the digital presence for the Cliff brand. We're seeing a lot of jobs out there that are targeted towards digital presence right now for obvious reasons. People don't have a lot of retail outlets at the moment because of COVID. So they're trying to figure out how can they push their brands digitally to make more sales and make sure they can stay alive through all of this, really. So this job would be, totally pivotal in helping Cliff do that. You would be leading a cross-functional team to plan, create, and publish engaging content for Cliff. So pretty cool gig.
Cliff is amazing. They've been some great stuff for racial equity as well lately. So I've been really impressed with them. Seems like a great culture. Mm-hmm. Saucony is also hiring in Waltham, Massachusetts, and I have had 3 people inquire this week about jobs in the New England area, so I hope you are all listening. But this position is for a senior content manager, which sounds incredibly fun, especially if you are a runner or care about running in any capacity, because in this role, you're going to be creating content that speaks to customers, helps them see themselves in the Saucony product. You're doing contests, promotions, you're partnering with people. It would be so much fun. So if you know how to do content and you like running, look into this one.
Awesome. And also in the Massachusetts area, you have New Balance. You have, is it Reebok that's there? So kind of a fun.
All the shoe places. Okay.
Didn't
know that.
Running companies there. Yeah. And just a bit, I mean, the Boston Marathon, like, what a better place to...
True. Yeah.
Big running culture. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. The last job we have for you today is with Peak Design. It's in the Bay Area in California, and they're looking for a senior design engineer. Peak Design, I think, has been looked up to by many, many an entrepreneur for their design and for their success. So I think this is going to be a pretty covetable job for a lot of people who work in product design, because if you can say you've designed products for Peak, that would give you a good in at many, many companies. So this job is senior design engineer focused on new hardware development, tripods and backpacks and other physical products that this brand makes with just, you know, a keen eye to design. So, great jobs today. So excited about them. 6 awesome jobs.
Yeah, we were both saying like, oh my gosh, these are all amazing. And like, probably might consider, I don't know, I might want to be a test engineer in my next life. So I'm going to mull that over.
I thought it was all about claymation for you for a second.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Anybody can do anything, right? The internet can teach us how.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go talk to Erin and get some tips on breaking in.
All right, we are here with Erin Bible, longtime adventure journalist in the outdoor industry. If y'all have been around Outdoor Retailer, you probably know Erin Bible. So, Erin, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you are, what you do in the industry, you know, for money and also for fun.
All right. Yeah, I am currently sitting in my home in Nederland, Colorado. And I've been in and out of Nederland for 20 years, but also lived in Summit County and in Steamboat and did a year in Charlottesville, Virginia, and did 3 years in Georgia for grad school. But mostly over the last 30 years, I've been here in Colorado. Who I am, sorry, I answered where I am first, but, I'm Erin Bible. And, like Ali said, I've been working in the outdoor industry for 20, really almost 25 years since undergraduate. And I've been in Colorado for 30 years on and off and currently live in Nederland, Colorado, outside of Boulder. Here we have a little bit of property at the end of a road and, yeah, we just hide out up here and do our program. Let's see, you wanted to know what I do for money and what I do for not money. And what I do for money is I create content, really, in the vernacular of the day. Sometimes it's writing feature stories. Sometimes it's writing product copy. Sometimes it's writing press releases. But mostly it's reporting. I used to do a lot of gear coverage. Now I do more in-depth, you know, coverage of races and events and athletes and destinations, profiles, and other topics. Somewhat unique, maybe not unique in the outdoor industry, but what I do for money is exactly the same things that I do for fun. I ride my bike, I ski, I travel, I paddle. I trail run. I play with a lot of gear and tents and boots and skis, and that's how I've made my living the last 20 years.
And Aaron, what are some examples of the work that you mentioned that you're most proud of? I know that you have a very long resume and very a lot of credentials.
Yes, it's true. I have a long resume, but I think actually, Jenna, you had asked me this question before you and I even became friends. And the work that I'm most proud of, I think it's the print stories, it's the feature stories that is kind of the golden calf. Those are kind of the enviable assignments and the better paying assignments. And so anytime I can land a nice multi-page feature in print, that's what makes me happy, and that's what I'm usually the proudest of.
Are there any brands that you've worked with that people would recognize?
Yes. I mean, as a journalist, I work with almost every brand. And so it's been, one of the my favoriteest parts of what I've done over the last, years is getting to know all of these brands. From a rather objective standpoint, and getting to know the people behind them, the designers, the CEOs, and so, I mean, it's likely that I've worked with every brand that you've heard of almost, in the last 20 years. So, I mean, like Ali said, if you go to the floor of Outdoor Retailer, those are the brands we work with, plus many others.
Okay, so how did you get where you are? What was your career trajectory like? Where did you start in the industry?
So I started writing for Couloir magazine. And I also at that time started working for Wave Sport Kayaks. And I was helping doing catalogs and photo shoots and helping them with some of their computer systems. And occasionally working on the production floor. And then living in Steamboat, working for Wave Sport, I got introduced to Eugene Buchanan, who was the publisher of Paddler magazine at the time. And he was just one guy in an office in downtown Steamboat, like in a room with no windows, publishing Paddler. And I had just come out of journalism school. And my first job out of school was working at a magazine called National Cattlemen's. It's a like an agricultural magazine. And it clearly wasn't my passion. I really thought I was going to study science and natural resources, or I should say, I thought I was going to be writing about and covering science and environment and natural resources because I studied journalism and natural resources as a combined major in school. And being a young and enthusiastic kind of environmentalist in the 90s, I was really passionate about all of the really the same issues that we're dealing with today, whether it's water rights or wolf reintroduction or public lands, climate change, overpopulation, like the same issues that were plaguing us then are still plaguing us now. But so I got this opportunity to move to Steamboat and ended up working with Eugene at Paddler. And so, I quickly then was like, oh, I can get paid to kayak. And that was the beginning of the rest of my life. And I never looked back.
That's amazing. So you got your start, by sort of a happen chance of meeting Eugene, and then how did you continue to forge more roads, from a journalist perspective with the outdoor media?
Yeah, I mean, definitely my perspective is media. And like Ali and I kind of have a similar background where we came in through the journalism media route versus where a lot of other people make their entry into the industry through the brand route. And so a lot of times when people, wait, I'm about to not answer your question. I just didn't want to forget about this one part about outdoor jobs, but I'll remember it because it's super important. But the way I continued it was just by, as being a young person, brand new out of college with kind of my first big outdoor magazine job. I just worked my ass off, and I learned from Eugene, and I learned like that you had to be, you had to play hard and you had to, be out there doing things and getting to know people and becoming kind of, part of the crew and at the same time just trying to be the best journalist I can be, to become a better writer, to be fair to my sources and to be someone who follows through on their word and, not taking product and then not reviewing it. Just, the very basics, were just critical to establishing a reputation early on.
So it sounds like networking and actually a lot of the skills that people use in all facets of the outdoor industry, you used and were helpful to you, including just being like a stand-up person and someone that people can trust and someone who's
Yeah.
going to work hard. So
Yeah,
thank
writing people
yeah,
back,
thank you for that.
calling people back. It's like you said, it's the basic skills that oftentimes they don't even teach you in college that are the most important skills in any job.
You've been in this industry for a long time. You know the ins and outs of it. You've worked with almost every brand, probably almost every person. So in 2020, if somebody wants to work in this industry, how can they break in? And if you can answer for like a couple of different groups, if possible, students are wondering this right now. People that don't work in this industry but have been working for some time in another one might want to hop in. And then I know that you might have tips in particular for journalists.
Yeah, that all makes good sense. And so, yeah, I think things are definitely different now, and maybe in a good way. I think maybe there's even more opportunity now. Like sometimes when I look at it feels more exclusive than it was, but at the same time, it's bigger, and there is more opportunity. There's, lots of people working in this industry, like doing various things that didn't even exist when I started. And so, that said, I still think that the best ways to break in to the outdoor industry are the same as they've always been. And that is by working in the industry. And that can take a few different forms. A lot of people start in retail. And I know that, some of us have had these kind of conversations ongoing on the Basecamp Facebook page. But working in specialty retail at an outdoor shop has got to be the single best way to break into this industry and to understand the ground floor of this industry. Because until someone walks into a shop, gets their credit card out, and buys a product, none of us have jobs. And so, I think a lot of times media specifically forgets that. And so, some of us came into this outdoor media world through journalism, like sometimes maybe. I don't know what it was like for you, Allie, but sometimes Outside Magazine hires outside of the industry because they really want good journalists and they want really good writers and good thinkers. And so some of these younger people come into the media, with a degree from Columbia or what have you, and they learn the industry that way because it's definitely harder to be a good writer than anything else. Like you can learn almost any field, any subject matter, but being a writer, being a photographer, being an artist, you can't really teach that. That takes a lot of skill and intuition and practice and education. So being a good writer, you can do anything in life, right? And so that's that. But the other ways to come up that I really like, that I think build a lot of credibility is being a guide. Being a ski guide, being a ski instructor, being a raft guide, going for your certifications to be a mountain guide. The guides in this industry are truly the backbone of the outdoor industry. They are the ones out there breaking gear, sleeping, 300 nights under the stars, wearing out the soles of their shoes. These are the real users and leaders in the industry. And so I think if you can come up that way, that's really amazing. Sometimes people just get a job at a brand. Sometimes you luck into it. They don't come along all that often, but if you're in the right place at the right time and you really want it, sometimes people come in like, you live in Denver, you get a job as like a graphic designer at Topo, and maybe you didn't have any outdoor industry experience whatsoever, or maybe you weren't like a hardcore outdoorist or whatever that means, but I've even known, you know, product developers and line managers and other, you know, mid-level professionals like at, say, the North Face or other, like Mountain Hardware in San Francisco, where it's like they have this massive job pool. Not all of those people that work at Mountain Hardware are like 20-year dirtbags. You know, a lot of them are just like smart people, talented people with passions for whether it's, you know, writing ad copy or designing websites or drawing product or planning marketing strategies, merchandising, sourcing. You know, when you think about the outdoor industry, oftentimes I don't think you think about how broad it is. You know, I mean, all of these products have to be made from materials. They have to come from foreign countries. They have to be put together. They have to be, how are they going to be packaged? How are they going to be shipped? How are they going to be displayed? How are we going to sell them? I mean, there's, you know, it's just like any industry. It's as complex as you want to look at it. So, you know, the key though, for me, and I think for most of us, and again, I'm not saying that everyone has this. This isn't like a hard and fast rule, but it really comes from a passion for the sport and a passion for, you know, the product and the lifestyle. And I think if you have that, that ultimately you will find your job. Whether you're, you know, putting up climbing holds at your local gym, or you're a raft guide, or you're a graphic designer, you know, if you live for climbing, you will end up working at Metolius or Mountain Hardware's. You know, it's just, there is no other choice. And so I guess sometimes when I hear people asking, like, how do I break into the outdoor industry? I'm like, well, you, where else would you go? Well, you know, like, that's never, it's never been a choice for most of us.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And especially because if you have a good skill set, but you don't have the passion, there will always be a candidate who has a similar skill set who does have the passion for the outdoor industry. So
that's a great point. Yes. It's competitive enough that unless you have a niche or a passion, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of writing in the industry, you know, there's, you know, there aren't actually like a ton of outlets. Like, the media world in the outdoor industry is incredibly small, but it functions the same as pretty much any other pub, you know, the broader publishing industry. So can you give us some tips on pitching writers, pitching editors in the outdoor industry? Like, how would a writer who really wants to break in kind of get started?
Yeah. I mean, I think you nailed it that, you know, pitching an editor at Outside or Men's Journal or even like a Shape, say, for example, if you're talking kind of lifestyle, that kind of, you know, borderlands of lifestyle outdoor that a lot of the magazines touch on now. It's the same as if you were writing, like you said, for technology or fashion. And man, pitching is hard. I mean, you have to have the stomach for it. You have to have the tenacity for it. I think studying it, I think, you know, even taking a class, you know, I remember Jamie Moy was doing her classes on kind of how to be a freelancer. And I mean, it takes a lot of diligence, and sometimes it takes being introduced to these editors. And so that's the, on the print side, right? I mean, it's challenging to get in, right? Because they're going with their known people that they know can deliver, people that have a name, that kind of thing. Now, getting in writing for like websites, there's obviously many, many, many more, and you have a much better opportunity to get your work published. And so that said, while, you know, no one should be working for free, there's oftentimes ways to get your work published and get your clips built up, because, you know, I remember even coming out of college, it's like you got to have those clips. It's like you had to have your 3 clips that you could take and be like, these are my 3 awesome clips. You should hire me. You should give me more assignments. And so I think building up that portfolio, even if it's just on your own personal blog or if it's on a brand blog, like there are a lot of places looking for content, and you can kind of create a really awesome digital portfolio by, you know, being creative with your outlets.
Yeah, and when you talk about clips from way back then, I'm picturing like my old three-ring binder
Oh,
with some of
yeah.
the magazine pages ripped out.
Oh, yeah, with the like, oh, I had I still have them. Like they're out there, you know, in the slip sheets and stuff.
Oh, no, you can't throw those away now.
No, my daughter needs to see that stuff.
Aaron, as a non-journalist, I'm just wondering if there is a difference between if you're pitching to one of those core outdoor industry publications or something that is more fringe.
I don't think so, really. I mean, you know, selling, it's just like selling yourself and selling your idea. You know, the ability to kind of craft a headline or a lead that's going to stick, that's really all it takes. I mean, you could probably be completely unknown and pitch an editor some just golden material and be the first one to do it, and you could get that assignment. So really, I think it's kind of like understanding what magazines do, how they write, and then with the web, obviously understanding what people are searching for and kind of what that website's angle is. I think anybody could do it.
Okay, cool. And then today, I mean, you know the industry pretty well. If you were a creative, whether that means writing, whether that means photography, whatever it might be, do you see any gaps or opportunities that you might tell young Aaron to kind of delve into?
I mean, if I was going to tell young Aaron, and I was actually saying this exact same thing to Adam Ruggiero at Gear Junkie, because, you know, we talk all the time. I think Adam's maybe 10 years younger than me, and I said, you know, if I could go back 10 years ago, I would have studied video instead of photography. And I came out of graduate school right as digital photography was getting big. And you know, and video was just barely getting big at that time. And so obviously now video is everything, you know, from brands needs to website needs. And so definitely like, you know, design, web, you know, coding, like all of my friends that have been programmers and coders have just never been unemployed. Like while when the content and the marketing teams are getting slashed and starved, the coders and the programmers have just done well this entire time. So I mean, maybe those are obvious things, but I think as the outdoor industry has matured, those needs have also grown.
No, that's an amazing point. I agree with you. There's constantly software development jobs and full stack development and all of that. So if you can add that even to your current skill set, you're ahead of the game. So I think that's an amazing point.
And actually, I just thought of one other kind of aspect that gets overlooked, and that's sales. And so, you know, almost when it comes to sales, everything that I said prior somewhat gets thrown out the window because sales is such a hard job. It's such a specified job. Like, if you're a salesperson, you're like a true salesperson, like it's what you do, it's what you thrive on. Then you can kind of work anywhere you want, also. Like, people always need salespeople. And to be a rep is a really cool job. Now, you know, reps tend to need to know the industry more. Field reps and tech reps and reps are usually come from the athlete side and the real core user side. But, you know, internal sales and just, you know, knowing business and sales skills can really take you places.
Aaron, also, this industry, how can we do better with promoting equity and justice, not just for the people working in this industry, but for those outdoorists that it's trying to serve?
Yeah, I saw your question there, and obviously, I think we all know that's a really important question. My first instinct was that I just don't know the answer to that. I mean, the one thing that we've been talking about doing, especially in the bike industry, is to have more representative advertising. You know, I think by the images that we show people, that's a really great place to start. You know, from the media side, I know working with like Doug Schnitzpahn at Elevation Outdoors, like he's been really, really committed to showing, you know, diversity in our pages and giving people opportunities. And so those are kind of the two things that I know about. You know, I have a feeling there's like things that I don't know about and things that we haven't done.
No, I mean that's fair. Like we don't always know enough about something to have like a full opinion on it. So I appreciate that.
I was just gonna say, like, I have some pretty, good insights on why we've gotten to this point, and that is just that,
Oh, do tell.
the barriers to entry that we have in these sports. I mean, a pair of ski boots is $800, and you have to have a car to go skiing. I mean, a kayaking setup is $1,500 minimum, and you have to have a car. I mean, these sports are expensive, and like, how much do you think it costs to go and climb Mount Everest? There's a reason why these sports have remained exclusive, and I think opportunities like, urban skate parks and, even, nearby camping and climbing and picnicking and hiking and climbing gyms and pump tracks, and like, there's so many ways to open up these ideas and these sports and these passions to other people. But the industry itself, was built kind of on the backs of these pioneers, like the Yvon Chouinards, and almost every company, almost every brand was started by one of these, perhaps overly privileged and wealthy, great white men, that this image that really has created a lot of these brands. And I know that's changing, and that's great, but 20, 25 years ago, coming into it, we weren't really having these conversations. It was like, you're going skiing with Yvonne, or you're not, kind of, or like, you have the time and the money and the resources to go and be putting up new routes and doing these trips, or you don't. And so, just the whole conversations and the whole industry has changed.
You can look at these individual brands and look at the, white male founders for the most part and talk about their privilege. And really, it comes down to a much, much, much larger systemic racism problem in this country. And why there weren't other people of color in those places already,
Right, right.
so
That's,
yeah, I mean,
yeah. Like when,
the issue is very broad.
yeah, and it's difficult to assess. And like, when Dwayne Raleigh just retired, he quit from as being the editor of Rock and Ice magazine, and he did that because he admitted that because of his privilege during the time period, that he was allowed to do things and go places and participate in things that black people growing up around him were just simply not. And that kind of broke him, I think, after like, and after building his life on this industry for 40 years and then looking back. I mean, I think that's really hard for all of us right now. And some people aren't admitting it and don't want to talk about it. There's a lot more conservative people in this industry than you would think and that we care to admit, but I'm glad that we're having the conversations and that things are changing.
Yeah, and it's our responsibility to make sure that they do change and that the outdoors, becomes an equitable space for everyone. And, because it is such an amazing resource, and it is so healing and it is so rich. It can enrich your life in so many ways that it's so important for society as a whole. And kind of community-minded thinking that we all need to embrace because we've been living these independent lives. We it's our responsibility who people who are in the industry. Great. So Aaron, so tell us what's next for you? What are you working on? What do you have coming up? I know you have two kids. Any more on the way?
Hopefully not. No, we are definitely trying to not have any more kids. And so, yeah, I mean, being a dad of youngsters, definitely challenging, takes a lot of time. And but I'm still trying to do, like, this year I had about five or six bike races on the books that of course all got canceled. I try to get out and do as many trips as I can. I just maybe try to run the Grand Canyon before the end of the year. It just kind of depends on if my wife will let me get on an airplane and some other things, you know, biking the Colorado Trail and helping organize a bike race that we're starting up here in Nederland for next year. Since COVID came, I've been working on a lot of really just kind of different and fun projects, like helping a buddy launch a nonprofit, working on a project around helping homelessness, helping end homelessness nationwide, doing some brand consulting, you know, trying to help people understand what COVID is doing to us, to the supply chain. And then I'm still writing quite a bit. I'm writing a series of pieces for Free Skier. I'm working on a new column that we're hoping to launch at Gear Junkie. And so really my passion right now is to try and talk about the stuff we're talking about. And I want to speak out for what's right and try to help people enact change. I want to work with young people and understand where they're getting their information from and where they're getting their values from, how they're processing information, and how can we make this world a better place. That's really what I'm working on.
Erin, can I ask you some questions on an answer you gave earlier about breaking in and some routes that you had discussed? So you had mentioned, so two things I just want to kind of like root down in. The first was with retail and how important it is to get just an on-the-ground experience working with customers, understanding what they want, why they want it, and having just a better context of the industry, which I totally agree with. So my question is, while we're in pandemic mode and maybe stores are not as in person as they were, do you have any suggestions for how to replicate that?
Yeah, that's a good question, I suppose. If there's no stores, it's hard to get a job as a clerk, and you might not want to anyway. But well, I mean, let's assume that, you know, we're going to be out of COVID someday and specialty retail will again thrive, you know, hopefully. But I mean, the obvious answer is e-com. You know, I think if you have skills in e-com, it's kind of like what I was saying about sales. Like, those are very transferable skills. Everybody wants to understand how to sell. They want to understand how to market on Facebook. If you understand digital marketing, social media marketing, that's what I would do if you want to make money.
And then for the guiding, how might somebody go from guiding to a more corporate career in this industry?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I don't think there's one path. And this is a really interesting kind of life question that people have to ask themselves. Like, every time I'm working with a young person who seems to have a passion for, you know, skiing or rafting or whatever it is, I'm like, great, you should quit your job, quit whatever you're doing, drop out of school and go spend 2 years as a raft guide. Go sleep in your truck, go meet people, go paddle and sleep under the stars, and like the answer will come to you. And maybe you'll end up, you know, getting pulled into like the fly fishing world, or maybe you'll get pulled into like the SUP world, you know, the stand-up paddleboarding world, or maybe you'll meet the person who makes Werner paddles, and then you'll end up going up to Idaho and going paddling with them, and then you'll end up working in the factory for 2 years, and then you'll get moved into sales, and then that sales job will lead you to like a product line manager job at Patagonia. Or so I think like getting in is the most important part, and then the rest, you know, the doors will be open for you.
It's like low-key networking, basically, while doing something that you care about.
And it's putting your time in.
Raising your hand, if you will. Erin, anything that we didn't cover that you wanted to say?
I don't know, Allie, did you think that we missed anything?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think that the advice for I've had a few people email me and say, "Oh, how can I break into the industry right now?" You know, and I think that if you're looking at job postings, you will see almost everything right now is focused on digital marketing, e-commerce, merchandising, social media, content creation digitally. So basically, anything you can do to drive a company's bottom line through their website is going to be valuable right now. especially with retail stores at a slowdown or a complete stop, if you can leverage any sort of skills that benefit web sales, then you are going to prove yourself valuable. So that's where I would focus energy. And if you're if you're entry level, I would even, how can you be an administrative assistant? How can you help with coordination? How can you kind of help in those parts of the job that just require organizational skills, and then, communication and soft skills like that. So
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I feel like I've said this a lot, but sometimes just like sweeping the broom in the factory is the best way to work your way up. If you like, I've loved, Patagonia for my entire life. Like I've applied to work at Patagonia probably 8 times in the last 20 years. And, I always said that I was going to move to the parking lot there and live out of my van until they gave me a job. And I definitely recommend that for people, if you just have to follow your passion. And maybe that's teaching kids, maybe that's, building climbing holds, like whatever it is, you just have to go for it.
Okay. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for letting us in on, all of the wizardry you have for this industry. It's been amazing just to hear what your journey has been like and those little tips that you've picked up along the way.
Cool. Well, I hope that it made some sense, and I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys.
Thank you again to Aaron Bible. And of course, thank you so much to everyone listening. We so, so appreciate you. We would love your feedback regarding who we should be interviewing on Outdoor Dream Jobs. Do you love hearing from brands and getting insights into what the workplace culture might be like and who might make a good fit? Do you love hearing from individuals who have taken interesting career journeys in this industry and done things you find inspiring and might want to follow along in their footsteps? What would you like to hear? We're going to put our email address in our show notes, and we would absolutely love to hear from you via email or in the Basecamp Facebook group, which keeps growing and keeps having amazing conversations that we'd love you to join. Super easy. Just go to outdoordreamjobs.com or on Facebook, search for Basecamp Outdoor Jobs and More, and join our community that way.